It was the end of February of this year, and myself and my family were excited. We had bought tickets to come and see you for a second time. I would have preached, and there would have been a vote. We were ready to put the house on the market, and we had decided which realtor we would use. Tickets were booked. We were 10 days from flying here. And then everything locked down. There was an indefinite wait. I remember the feeling in my heart being, oh no, how long will this take? My usual stress reliever, which would have been to run. Actually, I went out that week with a game plan and found out that I had micro tears in my right calf, a blessing of being now over 40. I couldn't even go to my go-to. I felt broken, weary, sad, alone. My plan had been derailed. And in the midst of all of that, I struggled to find joy. Joy. If you and I claim that Jesus changes everything, of all people, those that follow Christ and have a relationship with Him should have joy, especially if they are a pastor, right? In the midst of waiting, torn calves, life transitions, challenging circumstances, and now a COVID Christmas, joy can slip away and even become lost. This morning, I want to look together at how do you and I find joy in the waiting, in the brokenness, in the busy, in the chaotic, and in the disturbed world in which we find ourselves. It's good to remember that the world was crazy leading up to Jesus' birth. We forget that. Israel, God's people, was being ruled with an iron fist by the Romans. If that wasn't enough, an old woman and a virgin were pregnant. Babies were imminent. And one man, Zechariah, a proud papa-to-be, as a typical male, was of a limited use at the time of his son's birth. He was mute. He could not talk because of his unbelief. And there this morning, we pick up the story of the first of two miraculous births, and we see the birth of John in three ways that you and I can find joy this December. So turn with me, if you would, or on your phone, to Luke, one of the four Gospels. We're in chapter 1. We're going to look at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 57. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, but any version you're used to will do. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to his father as to what he was to be called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. How can you and I find joy this December and into 21? First, freedom brings joy. Freedom brings joy, specifically freedom found in believing, obeying, walking with God. We had seen previously that Zechariah's lack of faith in God had made him a prisoner. It had actually robbed him of the ability to speak, and in so doing would have taken joy from him. Look at verse 57. "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son." A baby was born, his first baby, a miraculous baby. And in 58, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. But who could not rejoice? Zechariah. Sure, he could rejoice inwardly, but he could not proclaim outwardly. I remember when Liam, my second son, was born in Atlanta. We were in the hospital. He was born about 12:15 in the morning in the month of January. And immediately afterward, I had one job, and that was Catherine was going to be hungry. And so I was on a mission. But by the time we left the hospital, it was 1:30 in the morning, and even though Atlanta is a huge city, there were only so many restaurants open. So where did I turn to in all of my brilliance? Waffle House. Waffle House was open 24/7, 365, especially if you live in Georgia. So I pulled up to Waffle House and happened to be the only car in the parking lot. I had my mother with me. We both had endorphins running through us. A baby had been born. I hit the door of Waffle House. All the cooks were there. They turned and said, "Welcome to Waffle House." I said, "I just had a boy." They said, "Congratulations." And I was like, "Is my meal free?" They said, "No." And then somehow we managed to spend $50 at Waffle House. They said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, give me one of everything." There was so much joy in the fact that I could tell these people that I would see once and never again. I had had a son. Not for Zechariah. 9 months had gone by and not a word. He was prisoner. We see in the story continues 59 to 63, and it happened on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias. And if you will, the story goes like this. Hey, shall we call him little Zach? Mom says, no. Why not? His name's to be John. But you don't have anyone in it. Why John? Listen, go talk to his father. Ha ha. Can his dad talk? No. But he is educated, and they get him a pen and a piece of paper. Not really. And he writes down his name is to be John. And immediately, look at verse 64, and at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Freedom is found in trusting God's character and his word. But trust is a choice. His character and his word. And my friends, this morning, this December, as we look to 21, we do not have a word on COVID. It's not there. That's okay. You know, focusing on the unknown, the fear of the unknown, ultimately will do one thing for God's people. It robs them of joy. Yet, you and I, instead of being prisoners, we need to be focusing on what we do know. There is plenty here. As a matter of fact, God's word and in his character, we find everything we need for life in Christ, even in COVID. We must focus on the known, the revealed word of God. As Brian mentioned, in 2021, as we go into the new year, we don't know what will happen, but we do know this. As a body, we want to be in God's word, individually and collectively, drawing strength from it. We want to be engaged as a body, and not all can come on a Sunday morning, but there's great news. There is more happening in the body than on Sunday morning. We want you in groups. We want you with other believers to be growing and pursuing Christ together. But not only are we calling the known that we are to be in God's word and we are to be in community, but we are to be walking alongside those, helping them come to know Christ better, to know him. We have freedom not just to trust, but to obey. They are two different things. We can believe it and not obey it. We can place our faith in it, but not execute it. We are to obey God's known word, and in our obedience, we find joy. Joy. Here we see in verse 64, Zechariah has changed his mind. He's ready to obey. The moment he obeys, it's like he explodes with joy. Notice also in verse 65, fear came on all those living around them. And these matters will be talked about in the hill country, and all who heard kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? Fear came upon others. My friends, when you and I choose to be obedient, we find joy, but it may be counterintuitive to those who are not walking with Christ. That's okay. Lack of obedience kills joy. Lack of obedience will always kill our joy. So it's worth asking. This is a rhetorical question, no response needed. But each of us, as we come this morning, should ask, is there anywhere where I know I am not obeying God? My friend, you are trading joy for your disobedience. To put it another way, is there anything you know that's right that you are not doing. That also is disobedience and will steal joy. You and I have freedom to obey God's word, but it is our choice. It is our choice. I saw this, it was just over a week ago, when I first got here. One of the things that I know is that I am to be sharing my faith with others. I am to be pointing others to Christ, not in this setting. I am to be finding those who maybe are confused or don't know of Christ and sharing of the hope that I have. This is something I pray that I am able to do every week as a believer, just being obedient. It's not my giftedness, but I have been called to do it, to point others to Jesus. And early on when I got here, I got connected with a young man who was close to the kingdom, but struggling to believe some of the claims of Jesus. And I remember thinking, oh, the Lord has answered my prayer. And then I thought, oh, but I'm not sure I want to do this because I'm super busy right now and I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed with the transition and I'm not sure I have the life space. And then I thought, do I believe that God can provide whatever it is I need? It's that I need to obey. Will I obey? I'm happy to report I did. We started meeting at 6:30 in the morning, which is way too early. I don't even function without a cup of coffee at that time. And yet this last week, after reading in the middle of John and discussing Jesus for an hour, I got in my car and it was like there was this adrenaline dump. I was so excited and I thought, I've had too much coffee, it's the caffeine. And then I thought, no, Michael, you are being obedient and Jesus is giving you joy. Joy comes through obedience for the believer. How can you and I find joy? Obedience is not the only way. Suffering expands our capacity for joy. This catches us off guard, but it is true. As you and I walk through this life, as we suffer, there is a correlation where it expands our capacity to experience joy. Think of Zachariah and Elizabeth's life. They were marked by suffering. We're coming to a part in verse 67 to the end of the chapter. Zachariah gives a joyous prophecy given on the dark backdrop of heartache and pain. Think of Zachariah, his life pain, or Elizabeth, infertility, their whole life, the death of dreams, the onset of old age, and still no children. I'm sure there were other things, but that's a big one for them. Not only was there life pain, look at 71 and 74. It says, salvation from our enemies. In verse 74, to grant us that we may be rescued from the hands of our enemies. There was a general pain that any Jew would have lived with in this time. As the chosen people, they were to be a light to the world. They were to be independent and free, and yet Rome ruled them. The irony of this prophecy is that both John the Baptist and Jesus would be killed by Roman hand. That's pain. But then we look at verses 77 and 79 and we see humanity's greatest enemy. Verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercies of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. What is your and I, our greatest enemy? It is not COVID, my friends. It is not economic hardship. It is not the pain that you may be facing this Christmas. The human plight is one that is much deeper. Our greatest enemy are sins and the shadow of death. Yet, in this prophecy, it ends with the idea, the promise of peace. You see, God has a plan. It has never lagged. It continues to march through time. And the greater the suffering that goes all the way back to the garden and Adam and Eve, the greater the suffering, the greater the deliverance, the greater the joy. And that is what we find in this prophecy. Don't miss God's heart for his people, though, because it runs all through this. Watch this, 69 and 71 both speak of God's salvation. Verse 72 speaks of mercy. 74, rescue. And in verse 72, it says, God remembers his promises. God doesn't forget. Rescue has come and is coming. Why all of this? Look at verse 74. To grant to us that we may, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. What a good word for our day. To serve him without fear. In the midst of pain and brokenness, what can you and I do? A simple thing would be to look for silver linings this December. Look for silver linings. This last week, I got a text from one of the members of this church, and he said, you know, it's 2020 has been weird, stressful, and in ways unrewarding. And then he said something very profound. I'm asking myself now, what can I learn today? What is God teaching me today, in the moment, not in this situation, not when things change, but now, in the present, today? 2020 has been a year of waiting for the Kramer family. Transitions, hurricanes, COVID, and now a COVID Christmas. And it's in times like this that I look around and I say, what are you doing, Lord? Because you're always at work. What would you have me see? What have you done? And I could miss it. As I was thinking and pondering this, something quickly came to mind. Because of COVID, because of the transition, this school year has been unique for my children. And while still in school on Fridays, two of my kids have a fairly flexible schedule. And this year, Judah turned 13. And one of the silver linings for me is this year we have gone through the book of James chapter by chapter at Waffle House in the depot. And you know, as I've reflected on that silver lining, it was about 2 years ago before when I was starting to think of transition, one of my prayers has been, Lord, let me not give all of who I am to ministry. Lord, may my family, my kids, may you provide opportunity for me to invest in them. And my friends, 2020 has allowed for that for me. That is God's good hand. How can you and I find joy? First, freedom. Freedom that comes through obedience. Second, suffering expands our capacity for joy. And while we may find ourselves in a season that seems joyless, God's plan is continuing to go forward, and he continues to work. And you and I, may we be given spiritual eyes to see what he is doing. Last, joy is found in salvation, which leads to service and sacrifice. Joy is found in salvation, which leads to service and sacrifice. In verses 70 to 73, actually the whole prophecy, Zechariah's prophecy speaks to two things, and really they are one. First, the joy of salvation. Second, the ministry of John. And if you'd like to boil those down into a word, he's talking about Jesus. Both the salvation that came through Jesus and John as a prophet proclaiming Jesus. Look at verse 77. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Knowledge of salvation, forgiveness of sins. In verse 79, peace. Peace. Because salvation brings an identity and purpose to our lives. Here we see also about John's ministry in 76 to 79. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. John's ministry was marked by two things, service and sacrifice. Service and sacrifice. And John, of all of Christ's followers, did these two things without fear. His ministry was the opposite of fear. Look at the bookends of this passage. Look at verse 66 and 80. First, verse 66. At the very end, it says, "For the hand of the Lord will certainly be with him." And in verse 80, it says, "And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit. And he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel." God was with him. My friends, God is with you today. And he will be tomorrow. With him, in verse 80, it talks about growing strong. He was a man who hung out in the wilderness. If we know the rest of John's story, he wasn't afraid of Herod. He was killed for his service and sacrifice, much like the man he heralded. His identity was rock solid in Christ. Joy is found in salvation, which leads to service and sacrifice, because you and I, as if we have a personal relationship with Jesus, have an identity that is secure in Christ. My friends, you and I cannot buy joy this Christmas. Apple products, puppies, new houses, 401ks, trips, which you can't go on anyway, hobbies, collections, sports, family. You ready for this one? We discovered Boudin donuts. Hallelujah. The joy was gone when the donut was gone. You see, we get joy and happiness confused. Happiness is not lasting identity. It is not unending joy. My friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, if it is your ambition to follow him, to serve him, to love him, and you are lacking joy, could it be that you need to think of a new way to tap into that joy? Could it be that there is service to be done for the King? Could there be sacrifice that is to be had for your King? I know 2020 has been crazy, but Christ is still our King. And there is still joy to be had when you engage your gifts in this body. There's still joy to be had when you sacrifice for the sake of your King. Could it be, that you and I are missing a piece of joy because we are not engaged there. I'm 41 years old. Sandra, who comes in faithfully and volunteers at the office, likes to tell me, "I am twice your age and twice your wisdom." I tell her I'm twice as strong as her. That's debatable. I have served the Lord as faithfully as I have known how for 22 years. I have sacrificed as faithfully as the season has allowed me to. And yet, 2020 has been a new season for Michael. I don't find the same joy in ministry like I used to. In the service and the sacrifice, it doesn't mean that I don't do it. But the joy is not the same. It could be that I am in a transition. I had someone tell me this last week that my joy base had been taking away. Basically, they were talking about flowers, woodworking, running, hobbies, things that come and go. Everything's been reshuffled in Michael's life, in my life. But you know, as I stand before you this morning, I am rediscovering joy anew that doesn't come from service and sacrifice, but solely from sonship. And while sacrifice and service are good, the thought that I am a son and I am deeply loved brings such joy, an overwhelming, unending joy. I am his, and he is mine. He loves me. It's not sacrifice. It's not serving. It's sonship. It's being loved. Joy is found in a saving relationship with Jesus. Jesus loves us. And my friend, if you lack joy this morning, could it be that you're not secure where you stand as a son or a daughter of the King? Jesus means Yahweh saves. Christ means Messiah, the Anointed One. Emmanuel means God with us. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast." No works, nothing earned. It's a gift received, and at Christmas we should understand that. It is a grace given, forgiveness, purpose, joy, free. I have a good friend in Southern Illinois. He had a hellacious family life growing up. He took up boxing because his dad was violent toward his mom. And the day his dad stopped being violent was the day that he stood between his dad and his mom, and his dad knew he couldn't take him anymore. He went from there to the military because he had no identity and didn't know who he was. He came out of the military still searching. He went into the police for the same kind of brotherhood. Still did not know Jesus. And then Jesus began calling to his heart. He showed up at a church. He heard God's word preached. He knew he was missing something. And one day he showed up in a pastor's office and he wanted to debate the ends of Jesus, his deity. How could this be? How could this be? And the pastor just cut to it and said, "Where are you with Jesus? Do you have a relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus?" And that day, my friend accepted Christ as his Savior. What did that look like? He accepted that Jesus died for his sins. He believed that Christ, for the first time, had forgiven him, and he confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord. He says this: "It was as if a light switch was turned on. And for the first time in his life, what had, to him had been meaningless, there was purpose, identity, joy. Don't be deceived, though. A relationship with Jesus won't bring an easy life. It didn't for John. We confuse happiness with joy. Happiness is temporal. It comes and goes like a Boudin donut. But joy is with outside of ourselves. And if we are linked to Jesus, nothing can take that joy. It was a gift given and freely taken. It is unshakable. It is unturnable. A relationship does bring hope in trial. Peace of forgiveness of sin, and the list is long for me. Victory over death and defeat of enemies, sin, Satan, and self. Joy is found in being loved, a son, a daughter. My friends, that joy can be turned on like a light switch if you don't know Christ. And for those who know Christ, who have a personal relationship with Jesus, He has not forgotten you in 2020. He loves you and me. He came once for you to be born and to die. He will come again for you and I to rule and to reign, and all will be righted. How do we find joy? Joy is found in obedience. Joy is found in identifying silver linings where God's hand is at work. And joy comes from service, sacrifice, but ultimately, sonship, sons and daughters of the King. It was about a year and a half ago in Southern Illinois. I was preaching a Wednesday night service. I think Catherine and the kids were sick, and it was me and my four-year-old, Ezra, my wingman. He went to Wednesday night kids' church, and Catherine, who knew that I tend to be an absent-minded professor, kept telling me over and over, "Don't forget to pick Ezra up. Don't come home without Ezra." I always got tied up after teaching. People would come up, questions, we'd talk, pray. And there were two sweet ladies that always worked kids' church, Miss Joy and Miss Kay, saints. They looked at Ezra and said, "Is your mommy coming?" What type of anxiety does that create in a four-year-old? Ezra calmly said, "My dad is here. He won't forget me." When I finally showed up, because I almost forgot him, the teachers looked at me and said, "We told him you weren't coming. He was insistent." Ezra had a big smile on his face. "Dad, I told them you were coming. I knew you'd be here." Confident joy filled his face. And then he said this, "You are my dad. You love me." To which I said, "I do, buddy. I do." Christian, Christ follower, COVID Christmas, you and I are not forgotten. You are His. He loves you. And He is our great joy. Let's pray. Father, in our humanness and our fragile selves, we often struggle to trust you. I thank you that you are so patient and merciful with us, that walking a life of faith is a process, that becoming more like the Son is a journey. Father, as we close out 2020, whatever the circumstances, may we as your people, sometimes weary, may we know your joy. In the darkest night, may we reflect the dawn that is to come, the Christ that is in us. May you be our joy. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I'd invite you to stand.